everybody, welcome to Game Goose. Today is July 7th.
It doesn't feel sincere anymore.
No, we had a little technical issue. I had to take it back to the top. So, but it's July 7th, 2020. Episode,
you got it. Yeah,
two of season three. Clinton's in his apartment. He's cleaned it.
I did. I cleaned my apartment.
He mopped his floor.
Uh huh.
He got it done. He's already been through this. So.
Yeah.
Neil, pigsty. Didn't do anything.
He's not wrong.
And he's wearing a Michigan State shirt that he got for his birthday. You're all caught up.
Yep. This is now.
Oh, you missed us making fun of Dan.
And Dan has an awkward gait.
I've been told it is unique.
But yeah, I've been playing a bit of League of Legends. We played last night. We played three games. Won all three of them, of course. That's not true at all. We played three because we got trounced the first two, and they were 20-minute games. Yeah, I don't know. We were playing four people, so we had a random fifth stack person. And the second game, they died twice in their lane. They died twice in their lane to their lane, and then once to a gank, and then I think just a random roam caught them the fourth time, and they quit. So it's just kind of like, oh, well, we're 8 minutes into this game, and we're 4-5. Usually that does not bode well, and it didn't, so we ended up surrendering at 20 minutes. And the one before that, we had a rando who was just kind of all over the place, which I don't know. That one was the kind of thing all of us were. It had been a while since any of us had played, so we were all kind of like all over the place. But and then our third game was a pretty long game. We all got to 18 and all that. And it was very, very close game, back and forth. And then eventually we just kind of eked through at the end and smashed their inhibitor for the win.
It's such a disheartening game when you put 45, 50 minutes into a good game and then you lose it.
Yeah. Yeah, ours was, we won on objectives. So we took Baron, and then we took the Elder Dragon, which if you kill the Elder Dragon, you get a buff that lets you execute people that are below, I think, 2/3 health, or at 1/4 health, I think. So if you get them below 1/4 health and hit them again, it just instantly kills them. And that's really kind of what turned it for us. But yeah, it was a fun game. We were getting trounced by one of their, by their top lane, their Shen, but managed to come back somehow. I don't know. But no one really cares about League of Legends games. I'm just not going to have a lot to say later about strategy games, so I'm just going to get it all in now.
He's got to hit his word count. Like,
you got to have some kind of
context for it.
Some kind of context for it, and it's like, all right.
Yeah. Cool. but yeah, I've been playing a few games here and there. Final Fantasy 14. I've just been playing the gambling games in. I haven't even been like actually leveling or doing any quests. I just go on and there's like little mini games in the casino.
Mini games.
And I play those. I started playing Empyrean. Empyrean Galactic Survival. It's a survival crafting game.
In space?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, you crash land on a planet, and then you can eventually go back to space. And it's, I'm not sure if it's procedurally generated or what, but I guess it's like as big as some of the others like that. So No Man's Sky and stuff, it's got hundreds and thousands of planets like that. And yeah, I don't know. I'm not very far in it yet, so I'm not sure how deep it is. But we played for probably 6 hours. Cody and I did the other day. 6 hours or so before it just got late and we stopped. But we haven't gone back to it. But yeah, I don't know. It looks like an interesting game. It's not like graphically the most beautiful or mind-blowing or anything. But yeah, it's fun. The progression on it seems very slow, though. There's like to do things to like unlock new technologies and stuff, it seems to take a lot of experience, and I've not really figured out a good way to get experience yet. So a lot of it's just been kind of waiting to get experience to get the tools that I need to build up my base a little bit farther and stuff. But yeah, I don't know.
What's that called? Empyrion?
Empyrion, yeah. Empyrion Galactic Survival. It'll be interesting. I think I want to keep playing it and see kind of where it ends up going. I see a lot of people say it's like their favorite survival crafting game. So I don't know. I need to.
Oh, wow. This looks like Halo 1.
Yeah, it's not great. But, I mean, it still looks, or it plays interesting. So there's a lot of like hovercrafts and things that you can have, and you can build all of this stuff very like kind of Lego-y kind of. There's blocks and bricks, and you can.
I was about to say this looks like a Bionicle movie.
Yeah, it's not, the graphics are not stellar by any stretch of the imagination, but it's been fun so far. We'll see. Cool. I hope the progression kind of speeds up, but other than that, it's been good.
I feel like I always go first or last, so I'm gonna throw you for a curveball and jump in the center here.
Slide in the middle, Dan.
Right.
I don't like that. Strike that from the record.
You edit right, now, so you're in charge of that.
That's true. That's true. Neil and I have been playing Apex quite a bit and still getting pretty good at it. Still having fun. My solo game that I was playing for a bit, don't know if I'm going to finish it, is called Rhyme. Interesting. I like it. Don't know if I like it enough to finish it. It, long story short, it's like Zelda without puzzles, or without combat, excuse me. So it's all puzzles. It's a lot of, and they're very Zelda-like. It has a lot to do with light and reflecting light and moving blocks, which every puzzle I'm like, this very much reminds me of Zelda. There's ones where you're in rooms and then they fill with water so that you can swim up higher to the next area. A lot of stuff I've seen in Zelda. It's really cool graphically. Not like amazing graphics, but they do a really good job with what they have. It's kind of cel-shaded. As far as the story, I don't really know what it is. So you're a boy who has washed up on the beach, and the first puzzle you do unleashes a like fox spirit, and he kind of guides you around and tells you where to go. And there's kind of a man in a red cloak that you're following, but that's kind of all I know so far. And I'm pretty sure I'm exactly halfway through the game, because I have discovered, not through the game, but through my Xbox, when I would be in a party with Neil or when I was playing a game, that when I was in the first section, it said Curry Fury, which is my gamer tag, is in denial. And then when I got to the next section, it said Curry Fury is in anger. And now I'm in the next section where it says Curry Fury is in bargaining. So it's definitely a game about grief and the five stages of grief. So I'm right kind of in that third one. It's five stages of grief, right?
Anger.
Anger.
Bargaining. Something acceptance.
Yeah, isn't there one more? I can't remember. So maybe I'm not, maybe I'm, but I'm pretty close to halfway through. But after I finished the two and started on the third section, I was kind of like, I don't know if I want to keep going. So are you guys looking that up right now? Because it's going to bug me.
Denial, anger, depression, bargaining, depression. Acceptance.
So. Yeah, I think I'm actually in depression. No, I think I'm in bargaining, and then it goes depression. But yeah, it's cool. It's on Game Pass. I heard good things about it if you're kind of into just puzzle games that are pretty relaxing. It's got good music. Just kind of didn't keep my attention the whole time, so I think I'm kind of done with it. And I'm back into my gaming rut. No, I played a little Civ Rev, and I'm sure we'll talk more about that later. If you haven't heard us talk about Civ Rev, it's just a Civilization game that came out for Xbox 360 that takes Civilization and boils it down into a fun little turn-based strategy game. So we've been playing that game for like 11 years at this point. Yeah, it's fun. And then Neil and I actually played and beat the Halo 5 campaign. With the new Halo coming out, I wanted to do that. So Neil and I were both kind of in a gaming rut, and I was like, let's play this thing. So We did really good. I think I might have talked about it a little bit last time, but now completing it, I think I was really unfair to the game when it first came out. I think with all the changes at the time, it was kind of like unsettling. It didn't feel quite like Halo. And the biggest thing is that you aren't in the Master Chief the whole time. And I think that was kind of just a surprise to everybody, and you're almost not Master Chief most of the time. But
it's like 60-40 that you 40 that you are Chief.
Yeah. So, but I like the new characters. I like that they're exploring more of the world. We went to some colonies, like human colonies on the outskirts of the galaxy and things like that. So you're not just on Halo, and there's other AIs. They explore that. So it's not just Cortana. And it's pretty good. It was fun. Great shooter.
I hate to open up this can of worms again, but when we were talking about Keanu Reeves looking like Keanu Reeves in Cyberpunk 77, mm-hmm. you were staunchly against it. And yes. All of the character faces in Halo 5 are mo-capped to be their actor. Nathan right. Fillion, the guy from Luke Cage. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming the other ones are.
Yeah. So here's the difference, though. Keanu Reeves is freaking Keanu Reeves.
Okay.
Nathan Fillion's the big one. Nathan Fillion's the big one. But here's the thing. I don't really know much about Nathan Fillion. I know he plays a lot of games. I know he's in a lot of games.
He's the fucking star
so
of...
So maybe...
What's that? I wanted to say Destiny. It's not Destiny. Well, he is in Destiny. What's the show I'm thinking of?
The Firefly?
Firefly. That?
Okay. See, never seen it. It might bother me if I had seen it. And the Luke Cage guy was not the Luke Cage guy. He was just, you know, I don't think he had a lot of success. So I get mocap and putting actors as they look. And it was a little distracting once I was like, oh, shit, that's him. So, yeah, I'm still against it. But when it's people who are just like for this, you know, for video games and stuff, I can get behind it. Because it's not somebody I'm going to be like, that's Keanu Reeves the whole time. And maybe if I watched Firefly, I would have been upset about that. But
all right.
So I'm not saying that you didn't get me, but I don't know. It's just
it's a weird hill to die on.
I'm not dying on it. I don't like it. So, but in and I don't know how much Keanu Reeves is going to be in Cyberpunk 2077. If it's a small part, nah. Same with like the Luke Cage guy. It was weird when I saw him because I was like, that is definitely the Luke Cage guy. But then you're back to first person. You're not like constantly looking at him.
Yeah.
So, but again, none of them have the star power of a Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, given, of course.
Yeah. But overall, I if you played Halo 5 when it first came out and you were like, eh, I would give it another shot. Because I think just kind of with the hype and all that stuff, I think it kind of disappointed me when it came out, but now revisiting both the multiplayer and the campaign, I was like, this is actually a really solid game.
Yeah. And I enjoyed it. And I'm typically the hardest one to please with the straight up first person story based shooter.
Yeah.
And I'll use that as a segue into my game.
Oh, wait, moment though. There was one moment we did not like about Halo.
Oh yeah.
And there's a weird part where you are on one of the colonies and it's like, go talk to this Spartan who's the pilot. And then you have to go talk to like a scientist. And it's like, and then you had to, didn't we have to like find a clue?
There was one that was like, just go around and eavesdrop.
Yeah, just go around and listen to what the people are saying. And I was like, this is really weird for a shooter. Like it really tried to like put in the most, I wouldn't even say half-assed, quarter-assed, one-eighth of an ass RPG elements where you had to go and talk to people. And I was like, I don't like this. Like, it just took us out of the whole...
It did not belong there. I get that they're trying to open up the universe and, like, do a little immersion work there. I think we felt the same way in Gears 5 when they started doing some light RPG stuff. Like, it's fun to walk around your town, but have it be a conversation that moves to the end of the town, and then you're out of it, and you're back in the action. I don't want to eavesdrop in Halo. I can't believe that didn't get cut.
And it's weird because you only do it the one time, really.
Yeah.
So it was just like, it took us right out of this, like, it's a shooter. You go level by level and you kill stuff. And then suddenly it was like, why do I have control of this character? This could totally just be a cutscene. Because the cutscenes were phenomenal in that
Beautiful.
Game. Like, so cool. I think that Halo 5 is kind of the first time that it's like, holy shit, they have the technology to show what, like, Spartans actually fighting at the height of their fighting at the height of their power. Because, like, Spartans are supposed to be these, like, insanely fast, powerful super soldiers. And in the past, it was like, well, you have to kind of leave that up to your imagination because we only have Xbox 360 graphics and capabilities.
Yeah.
But now you're, like, playing Halo 5 and you really just, like,
can smash through walls. And
yeah. And so, yeah, you do. And you smash through walls and you freaking, like, charge people off cliffs, and then when you get into the cutscenes, like, they're awesome. They're super action-packed, and then it was just like, all right, now go listen to three people around this town talk, and it's like, this does not belong here. But, sorry, now move on to your game. I just wanted to point that odd section out, because it was weird.
I mean, I would say the cutscenes are so cinematic that maybe even they could put a movie star's face on one of those hot bots.
Although during the cutscenes, well, the action ones,
they're all helmeted.
They're all helmeted up.
But no, I was playing my solo adventure right now is Control, which I'm still very much enjoying. But I can be a marathon gamer hands down. If it's a game I can grind out and stuff, like, I can play it all day and enjoy it. You can't do that with Control. I'm not saying it's totally enjoyable. It's for some reason, it's just kind of, after a while, it's samey. You have powers and you have a gun. You have multiple different types of guns. And I just can't do that all day. But the story is still very interesting. It's creepier than I thought it would be, which I enjoy. I'll do a more thorough review when I've beaten it. But I've put a good, I don't know, 10 hours, maybe a little more than that into it. You know, I'm still really enjoying the world and what they put into it. I see why it got so much praise. I can tell that it's a late gen game because my original console, it has so many like particle effects. It deals with like altered reality and like different realities colliding. So there's a lot of like weird like distortion trails and tiny little particle effects that my Xbox just kind of like freaks out sometimes, which I'm sure a newer one would not do. But yeah, that's more of a hardware issue than a game issue. Other than that, Dauntless, which is the free-to-play Monster Hunter World clone, I was loving it. I came into it, I just wanted to play something different when I lost interest in Control for a bit, and I got to the strange part where you essentially, all you do is kill monsters, and then by killing monsters and doing like these main missions, you get access to higher quests. And one of these missions is like kill so many of the monsters you need to upgrade your armor and get to this armor level. So I did that, and then the next mission was the same thing. And it's like, okay, how do I get up there? And I started looking at it. I was like, oh, I need these missions. I was like, okay, how do I get these missions to unlock this crafting material? And apparently there's just a number that people are stuck at where the game doesn't unlock those missions for you. So you can't get the resource you need to complete the mission. So you can't get to any of the like end game content, essentially. The workaround is, you know, somebody that plays and they invite you, like there's like a Discord channel. It's a 2-year-old game. I'm not going to put into that much effort into it. Right. I'm done. I don't miss. So I opened up Monster Hunter World, which is a much bigger game. A lot more goes into it than just Dauntless, than what Dauntless does. And that's not a critique. It's just more of a JRPG, and where Dauntless is straight up, get to the monster, fight, done. I've been enjoying that. I haven't played much of it at all, but I think I'm going to get back into that. There's a big DLC I haven't played. That'd be a good thing to play with my brother-in-law. I'm in a boss fighting mode, and I want to get back to Dark Souls 1, so this is my warm-up before I replay a Dark Souls game for the first time. And Apex, and I won 4 times in 1 day. And nice. That's it.
You won 4 times in 1 day, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Nice. How many games?
I'm going to pick with Neil. I already picked with them off air, but I'm putting it on the record. I've been telling them to play Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice because it's a great game. It is, I think, something he would really like. And he's been telling me he's going to play it. And it's an Xbox exclusive. It's really one of the few games we can only play on Xbox that you can't play anywhere else.
Okay, maybe I'll play it at the control. I don't want to play two spooky games in a row.
I know, I get it. But I was like, you should play this game. So then he buys Control. And I'm like, I get it. Control's on sale. We've been talking about Control. Then I log on, and he's playing Dauntless. And I'm like, really, dude? I'm talking about Hellblade. He's like, all right, I'll get to it. Then I log on, and he's playing fucking Monster Hunter. And I'm like, okay, I get it. You want to fight bosses or whatever, but really, Senua's Sacrifice, it's great. The second one's coming out. You really got to play this. Then I log on, he's playing fucking Skyrim.
Oh, yeah. I dipped my toe in Skyrim. That didn't last long.
And I was like, you really are trying to go play everything but this game. I just want to talk to somebody about it. But I just wanted to put that on the record that Neil has played every single game under the sun. So, sorry, Clinton.
I don't even remember.
He was going to ask you how many games.
He was going to ask me how good I was. A whole bunch more than four, Clinton.
We have this weird thing that happens. And it used to happen to us in Fortnite, too. We always win our first or second game.
Yep.
I don't know what that is. I wonder if there's some kind of hidden algorithm that puts you with people that are much lower than you so that you'll have a good chance of winning.
Your hooks.
And then they suddenly pop it up.
I don't know. For the longest time, even when I was playing alone, I would win my first game every Saturday.
Yeah, it's super weird. It's always our first or second. And then it would be so funny because it'll be like, you and I will play, and Carl will get on with it. Carl, we won our first or second game, and then nothing the rest of the day. Yeah, it's weird. All right, any other games that popped into your brain while we were chatting? Any other things about those?
That's it.
Yeah, I'm. Halo 5 has gotten me excited for Infinite even more so.
Oh my God, so guys, I have hair coming out from under my hair. Is
hair coming out from under your hair? Just go with the Clinton. Just shave it all off.
No, thank you.
You could do it. That'd be good. So this week we are talking about strategy games, which I thought we'd already done, actually, because I'm just surprised we haven't done it.
It's because I vetoed it many a time.
Did you?
Yeah. I didn't think it'd be very interesting because I didn't think I played that many strategy games. In my experience, whenever I talk to a gamer, especially somebody around my age, they always talk about early, Warcraft, Starcraft, Age of Empires. There's another one that goes with it. I never had a PC. I never played any of those. Mm-hmm. I missed out on a lot of, and those are the hits. If you're going to talk about strategy games, you got to start there, which I can't do. But then looking back on the games that I've played, namely since this podcast started, I've realized that strategy has really started dipping its toes into a lot of different pots. And through that, I have experienced strategy in many different ways.
Mm-hmm. So before we get started, Neil, usually
We already started, Dan.
Before we get too deep into it.
Okay.
You usually like to give us a definition, so because every game has some kind of strategy to it, right?
True.
So what makes something actually part of the strategy genre as opposed to just being why is Overwatch not a strategy game?
Well, I think there's two different types. Obviously, when you talk about strategy, you have to break it down into turn-based and real-time RTS. So you have your StarCrafts, where each player is doing, hundreds of little they're working at the same time. Everything is moving. Essentially, it's real time. It's in the name. There are no breaks. There's no stop, breathe. What did he do? Let's react to that. What should I do on my turn? There's no planning out your turns. It's just game starts. You go. which is something I cannot do. That's in those games, it's much like League of Legends. If you make a mistake early, and you can't correct, like you're behind and you can't catch up. You get steamrolled. The other strategy games I would say are the standard ones, turn based. You start with a town or whatever the game's hub may be. Usually it's a city, and from that city you can build buildings and units that help you either level up your city to produce things faster or more efficiently, or units to scout, attack, fortify, stuff like that.
I think that's a specific type of turn-based strategy, though, because there are like XCOMs and things.
Yeah, I think XCOM came later. I think that's traditional strategy is that. I think the term I keep seeing is like tactical strategy, which I would give to XCOM and grid-based, like more unit v unit rather than city versus city.
Yeah, but so, then, I mean, there's also like Fire Emblem and those types.
Even Divinity Advanced Wars and of it. Yeah, Advanced Wars.
Yeah,
Final Fantasy Tactics.
Yeah,
those are all units on a grid that all have their own like.
Yeah, powers. They're like tactical.
Whereas those are tactical strategies.
Real question here. So MOBAs are, do you think they're just kind of in their own thing, or do you think a MOBA is a strategy game?
No, MOBAs are a separate thing. I mean, the first MOBA,
they were modded
Dota,
from...
Yeah, Dota comes from a modded...
A real-time strategy.
Warcraft client, but yeah, I don't think that... It, just like Auto Chess isn't a MOBA, but it comes from... Or like a card game, it's just a new
MOBAs.
Offshoot from... Go ahead.
I'd say MOBAs are closer to tower defense games than they are strategy games.
Clinton's thinking.
I think they're as far off from tower defense as they are from strategy. I don't think any of them really have kind of... I mean, they have similarities, but I don't think they have any gameplay elements that overlap necessarily.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think when I think back to my early gaming days, I mean, besides Nintendo, you know, I had my Nintendo and my PlayStation. I really think I was so bad at them. I still really am. I really think about RTSs. So I had Warcraft 2 and 3, I believe. I don't know if I ever had the original. I was a huge StarCraft person. Played some Age of Empires, was never very good at that. And actually, the one that I really got into was Command and Conquer Generals.
That's the one I forgot.
Super fun. Looking back, I am shocked it did not cause. Maybe it did. Maybe I just wasn't aware of it. But Command and Conquer Generals, there were three factions you could be. You could be America, China, or you could be I can't remember what it was, but you were a terrorist organization. And this definitely came out, I think, after 2001. Maybe? I don't know. But if it didn't, maybe that's why there wasn't controversy. Maybe it did come out before 9/11. But the terrorist organization, you could have suicide bombers, and you could put them in cars, and they could drive into shit. And I, like, looking back, I was like, God damn, how did they get... That seems like it would have been a big deal, you know? But anyway... As far as the strategy part, super fun. Really enjoyed it. And Halo Wars, that's another one.
2003. Kind of
okay. How did they get away with that without people being like, this is supporting terrorism? They slipped under the radar. It just seems like everything causes controversy and outrage. I'm just surprised that there wasn't any that I knew of. So...
Let's see.
Yeah.
Controversy.
But yeah, definitely early days playing Warcraft and trying to play. I just play the story because I try to play online and just get my butt handed to me because I'm sure I was playing with adults and I was a child that barely had any grasp on how it worked. You finding any controversy about it?
The Chinese aren't a big fan of the game. But surprisingly nothing related to terrorism so much, or yet.
Huh.
But yeah, anyways.
Yeah, that surprised me. Yeah, I don't know. I thought the Chinese were very powerful. It seems like they'd be into it. They were pretty good team to pick. But yeah, I think that's also just like it's a big part of PC gaming and you know, starting. That was definitely a big part of my life, was sitting down there and waiting for my dad to get done with his work so I could log on to StarCraft and just lose. So, and I also love that every back in the day, everybody had like three factions that you could be, and they all were the same three. It was like the middle of the road, the high tech one, and then the super fast rush one.
Oh yeah, it was, and it's always human, advanced alien, mm-hmm. zombie type undead alien, some sort of infestation.
Because that hasn't
changed.
True.
Look at Destiny. Look at Halo. Yeah.
For Command and Conquer Generals, where everyone was human, there was America was kind of just the regular one. The Chinese were the highly advanced ones, and the terrorists were the Rush people. So yeah, I think that's a big kind of what do you call it?
Archetype
theme.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. Whatever. Anyway, so what do you think makes? Do you think this, like, it's interesting because I feel like for a minute these kind of games went away, or I just didn't hear about them, because it seems like any of these games we're talking about are like pretty classic, or they're new.
Well, we haven't mentioned Civ, which has put out a new game every other year, and who has a rabid fan base for these games. But I also think with the rise of consoles, as we are, none of us are computer players except for Clinton, obviously. These games just don't port well, especially real time. I think turn-based has a little more luck, but there's still a lot. These games are deep. They are mechanical, and they are not something that a controller is well suited to. Dan and I talked about Civ Rev, which is basically a mobile version of a Civilization game. And even that, like, it is really a mobile game. They put it on mobile. I could not imagine playing it on mobile. There's enough things to do with a controller already. But yeah, I think they didn't die away, but I think the StarCrafts, actually, when's the last time they made a new StarCraft? It's been years.
Yeah, it's been a minute. They've really held on to two. And there's been expansions. But I think they really... It's just such a popular game. I don't know if they need to. I'm not quite sure, you know, what their thought is on
it. What I'm getting at is, I think, being such classic games, I think there are titans of this genre that just... will be unmoved, and we don't hear about the indie real-time and turn-based strategies. I think the developers who are interested in these strategy-like games have found a way with tactical strategies, which is where most of my knowledge comes in, and I think it's a relatively new genre of game. Well, that's a lie, because you had Final Fantasy Tactics is pretty old.
Fire Emblem's really old.
Fire Emblem too, yeah.
There was a game. Isn't Might and Magic? What is that called? I think that's a strategy. I can't remember very well though. But there was a game that we played on PC a long time ago that was kind of a tactical strategy, and I can't remember what it was called. But yeah, they're definitely not new. What am I thinking about? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Might and Magic games?
No.
It rings a bell. But the other one,
Magic.
The other one is that Planetfall. That Planetfall game that's on Xbox Game Pass. I think it's on some other systems. Is a fun, well, not fun for me because I didn't really enjoy it. But I see the appeal. It's a good mix of a real-time strategy and XCOM So where you have a town, you can build more cities. You build units. Once your units come into contact with another set of units, you go into this tactical strategy type fight, where in a traditional strategy game, it would just be like, here's your army, here's their army. Your army has this much attack, their army has this much defense. If it's close, they roll a die. If it's not close, the higher number is probably going to win. But in these tactical strategies, so many different things come into play. And I think that's why I didn't like this game. It was just too much to think about. Things like half cover, full color cover. Is your soldier behind a pillar, or is he behind, like, you know, a broken half wall? One of them will block all of the damage. There's high ground. There's, you know, the standard different types of effectiveness from, like, you know, explosives are better against vehicles. Fire is better against it. It is just so much in a game that, you know, like, okay, after this fight is done and I win or lose, I have to go back to controlling an entire army in three different cities. It's just,
yeah,
it's just a lot.
Yeah. See, I think the reason I liked it and I didn't feel overwhelmed was the fact that I had played the tactical part was just XCOM. The cover system was just from XCOM, so it was, like, not crazy. The one thing that would kind of scare me was, like, this is going to be really long if we have to do a whole nother battle inside of a battle.
Yeah, and they take, like, it's, like, 15-minute battles once you get, like, a real proper army.
Yeah. Heroes of Might and Magic was a turn-based strategy game that I used to play back in the day. So, yeah, they've been around for a while. Yeah, I think that I enjoy turn-based more than real time. I think Neil's in that. Are you into either? Did you play any of these games when you were younger, Clint?
I didn't. The only strategy game I really played, I'm trying to think even in general. The only strategy game I played as a kid was Fire Emblem, and was not good at it at all. Would lose everyone in the first three, like, levels. I just could not figure it out. And then we played Age of Empires in college here and there, and was never good at it. Strategy games just never been.
Is Age of Empires a real time or is it turn based? I can't remember.
I think it's real time, but I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure it's real time because I don't think we would have played it if it was turn based. But yeah, and I mean, I've played tower defense games here and there. I like Balloons, and like the gem tower game that was on all the Flash sites and some of that stuff. But
yeah,
I don't know. I'm not a big strategy fan. I played Mario v. Rabbids.
That's another tactical kind of one.
But yeah, beyond that, I've never really gotten into it. Never been good at it. Oh, that's not true. You know, I played what was that called? Majesty. And you're like a king in a fantasy realm. And you don't control any of the units or anything. You just decide, like, what buildings to build and how much to pay the heroes. And you can put bounties on specific monsters and stuff. And you have to build up a force just that controls itself and big enough, large enough, strong enough that they can fight off any monsters that come to attack your town.
Nice.
Which it was pretty interesting.
Now, see, I'd be more into that.
That was,
I think.
Yeah, that was a fun game. I wasn't any good at that one either, but it was less stressful than trying to control 100 units and all of that.
100 units with different abilities. Like, when I was in college, my roommate was really into StarCraft 2, and I think StarCraft requires intelligence. I obviously also learning. There's a huge learning curve, but it's in a weird way, it's pretty chess-like when you get to the. I'd watch these tournaments that he watch that he'd watch, and the amount of keystrokes they make a minute, because it's always on console. Is or not console computer is mind blowing. Like different number commands for each different quadrant of the mini map. So instead of like going to the clicking on where the units are, everything's automated. Everything's on a keyboard. They're telling, 300 units where to attack, different times, when to use their abilities, just in the blink of an eye. It's also a very reactionary game, in that, yes, the only thing you'll know going into a match is, actually, I don't even think you know what race someone's going to pick, when you're getting loaded in. So there's always a fair amount of scouting to do. And if you're a very high level player, here are my strategies if I'm the Protoss against the Zerg. Here are my strategies if I'm the Terran against the Protoss. And then it's like sending suicide units or just like cloaked units into bases to see what people are doing. So you can change your production back home to be ready for that attack. Or maybe people build decoy bases. They go like, I know they'll see this one first. Let's make them think I'm doing these units, but really these other bases are doing these and they won't be ready for it. If you want to talk about esports, that is a game that those are tournaments that gross a lot of money, are still very popular, and are confusing as fuck. It's the only way I can imagine, like, when Overwatch got on to Disney, like, me watching a StarCraft tournament was equivalent to like a 6-year-old watching Overwatch. Just like, no idea what's going on, a bunch of little monsters, I don't know who's winning, everyone's talking incredibly fast. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think these strategy games, to my knowledge, kind of started esports for the most part. I mean, that's been huge in South Korea for a long time. I know one of my good friends, his brother was stationed there, and he was like, yeah, it's on TV, like, and not like the obscure channel. Like, this is so popular for StarCraft to be on television. And yeah, for me, like I said, I played these games when I was younger, and just in general, I'm with both of you in the fact that I'm not good at them. And a thing about me is if I'm not good at something, I'm not going to like it. Like, I have a really hard time just doing something for enjoyment. But for some reason, I love strategy games and I suck at them. Like, you can ask Neil, it's taken me 10 years. I'm just finally starting to beat him at Civ from time to time. But I'd play with him all the time, knowing I was going to lose and enjoying it the whole time.
We did just find out about a year ago that I've been using the one broken civilization for like 9 years.
You've been cheating for the last 9 years.
He's been playing the S tier civilization.
And No. I've been playing S plus. They're like, these guys below them are still really good, but S, you can't touch the Zulu.
Yeah. we went to the Reddit and I was suddenly like, wow, they're like burnt. They're like banned. People like ban people from playing them.
That's funny.
So now we try to do no Zulu, but it is one of those things, like, I'll pick up Halo Wars. I'd play the hell out of some StarCraft going, yeah, I'm gonna lose, but look at all my little guys. So I don't know, I like have this, it's not even like a fantasy of getting better, I just have fun until I lose. So but like Apex Legends, like when I wasn't doing well at that, I'd be like, I don't want to play. But
so do you know what APM stands for? Actions per minute.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what exactly constitutes as an action?
No idea.
Okay.
I would assume giving inputs, a unit a command. Yeah. Just giving a unit a command, but maybe, moving your camera and things like that.
Highest recorded APM is 818. So he had an average of 818 actions for an entire StarCraft 2 match per minute. Okay, and so I'd say,
does it StarCraft give you like a list of the top three or anything? Like, is this guy blowing everybody out of the water, or is it like
8, 7,
8, 18, 8, 17, 8, 15, do you know?
Or let's see. Gotcha. Look, even if the other ones are down at like 700, I mean, I still lose my home row keys from time to time.
Yeah, I'm sure it's like second nature to these esports players, though. There's just, they've been doing it forever and they practice doing it. And they probably just practice moving their camera. They probably just have to do that.
Oh, so sure. It says beginners often have around 30 APM and professional E athletes in South Korea usually have around 350 per, in a match and often exceed 450 during intense battle sequences.
And then this guy double the best
for a whole match. Damn. Yeah. That's great.
Trying to figure out what APM is.
What exactly constitutes an action?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wild. I wonder if this would like...
So the number of actions such as selecting units or issuing orders completed in a minute of gameplay.
Okay.
So it's not like just moving computer screen or the screen around or anything like that. It's actual... like units selected and orders given to them.
That's insane. My
God.
I wonder if like this just, do you think that they get really good at their game or do you think that they're, it's probably a little bit of both. There's just like an inherent good at strategy kind of situation in that.
I don't know.
Probably a bit of both. I don't know. Can we make the, here's what I'm getting at. Can we make these people generals? Can they be in charge of the United States government or military and win us some wars? That's what I want to know.
I don't know.
I mean, I know that's just the plot of Ender's Game, but
I forgot about Ender's Game.
I just wanted to know, can we do it in real life? I don't know. But yeah, I'll play strategy games with anybody if I'm ready to lose. I think that's why Neil and I get along, is because he doesn't really like them. And I'm okay. I like him. I'm just okay with losing. So he's like, "Yeah, I don't really like it, but I'll win."
I really enjoy Civ Rev. If you know the Civilization franchise, for the last couple of games, they've made their kind of landmark thing is that the tiles, essentially, when you look at a turn-based strategy map, everything is a square or, you know, a location on a board if you're looking at it and like in a real sense. Civ took what is usually a square and turned it into a hexagon. I think it's a hexagon. Yeah. So each tile has obviously six sides, which just opens up the board a lot. If you're thinking about like traveling with units and however many like different ways you have to defend or even progress, move through the board, going from four to six opened up a lot of space. And in doing that, like I played a number of Civ and it of real Civs, not Civ Revs. Mm-hmm. In doing that just threw my brain for a loop. Like in Civ Rev, I know one of the first things I do when I play a game with Dan, because he never does this, is I look at who's around me and if there are any places that could be blocked off by one or two units. Like, just go there and know, like, okay, they can't get to my main cities if I put people there. And even if they want to attack them, they will have to attack me, start a war, and I will know they're coming. So it'll be like at least a buffer, like just to discourage people from doing it and give me a heads up. Which, by the way, Dan, you should start doing that. It's good. but when you add in those two other sides, there's just so many other places people can come from. You have to spend more money for more units to make a bigger barricade, and it's just not really it's cost prohibitive. I think what scares people off from this franchise, much as it did me, is the learning curve. And I know I've said this before, I wouldn't have gotten into League of Legends, and I don't play it now, and I can't get back to it. I guess I could talk to Clinton. But one of the reasons I got into it is because two of my friends were very into it. We'd watch tournaments together. They would tell me what was happening. They would explain what every item did and be like, these are the builds you can play with every character. This is what every character does to you. There's just so much to learn. And it's hard to get into a game where you are spending, much like with League and Strategy, you are spending, on average, probably more than 30 minutes to lose, which never feels good and is not welcoming to newer players. They always have a campaign that gets you kind of familiar with units and kind of the flow of it, but it's never anything like a real match.
Yeah, I think if you want to get into any kind of strategy game or just any kind of game in general, there's like a lot to learn. Like Overwatch is not League and it's not these huge strategy games, but it does have 20 some characters to understand. And I think the thing is just pick one thing and just play that for a while, you know?
Yeah.
Because if you learn one character, you'll start to learn a little bit about the other characters or about the other factions or about whatever. So that when eventually you're like, all right, I know this character, this faction, this country in and out. And then I know that one did this thing and that looks cool. Then you can kind of just start to move through the roster. If you look at the whole roster of everything you can choose and everything you can do, you're gonna just shut down. So, and I think that's like a thing.
Oh, yeah. Civ,
there's four different ways to win in every Civ. And if you just pick a country that looks interesting to you and just try to do one of those things to start, then you'll be fine, you know? As opposed to being like, how do I do religion and war and economy and science all at the same time? It's like, you really don't. So just learn a little
bit. You shouldn't, honestly. You got to pick one path to victory. I think that's one of the more interesting things to me about strategy is win conditions. The one that obviously first comes to mind is to take everybody's capital. It's to kill everything except for you. Mm-hmm. I think as a gamer, that's your first thought. Like, oh, you give me a military, that's how I win. I kill everything. We had an interesting game this weekend where I thought I was doing really well, and then just a couple setbacks. One big setback happened. I was like, okay, that's not the worst. I had a plan B. I was going to win this way. I was going to win with culture, but Dan did something, and I was like, okay, now we're going to money. I can win with money. Let's do money. And then I went to do money, and about the time I was about to get the thing that would really cement that for me, Dan built it. I was like, okay, we can't do money. Pivot. And by that time, I had already lost. But I think that's one of the more interesting things to me is knowing when to is analyzing win conditions, especially just not the kill all strategy. I think that gets a little boring and starts getting time intensive. And then it's just you rolling a bunch of die, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially in like the Civ games and stuff. And then like, even with the tactical things, you know, when we play Divinity, even though it's mainly an RPG, it had the tactical things. There was no, when you got into the battles, it was kill all the enemies and you win.
Yeah.
There wasn't really a lot else to do. But when you talk about XCOM, they do different things because there is eliminate all enemies, but there's also escort this unit from this side of the map to the other, or just, I think there's like one too, right? Where you detonate something.
Yeah, there's demolition. There's ones that are like straight up escape. Talk about a game that can be punishing. You put 20 hours into a campaign just to permadeath all your favorite units, and then you have to go against all the hardest bosses with nobody.
And I think these strategy games were some of the first that had permadeath, too. They had to, like, because Fire Emblem, wasn't that what they were pretty famous for, Clinton? Was having kind of one of the first permadeath systems?
I never got past the beginning, so...
You said that. That's right. You did say that. You said that. I don't know. Like the guy, the one dude that from Michigan that does all those weird news videos.
Oh,
I don't know. Yeah, check out that guy. I don't know what his name is, but he does a Wendy's one.
It's Arby's. Yeah, the car drives through Arby's. The Arby's.
Yes. God, that guy is really weird, but super funny. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a genre that has a lot of like different aspects to it. Like, you could definitely be within the genre and really like one game and not another. Kind of like all shooters are kind of the same for the most part. There's small changes you can make, but I mean, you can, like, how different is XCOM from freaking Civilization, you know?
Incredibly.
So, yeah, so there's definitely like a huge span within the genre where it's like, it's tough for people straight out say I don't like strategy games, which I'm sure there are people that are. Clinton doesn't seem to be super into them for the most part, but there's also people who really like XCOM and hate Civ, and there's people who will love StarCraft and they won't touch, you know, Final Fantasy Tactics or whatever. So
yeah,
there's a lot out there. I just think that being one of the, oh, there's a little cardinal on her. Oh, he saw me.
There is like a genre of strategy games we haven't really talked about though too, mm-hmm. like empire building ones like Anno or Frostpunk, or like where you have to resource manage and build out your city to get bigger and get more resources and stuff too.
Mm-hmm. I just downloaded Frostpunk. I haven't tried it yet.
Good luck.
Have you played it?
I haven't played it. I've watched watched videos of it, and it looks
so. What it difficult. What is it exactly?
So the world's gone into some kind of deep winter, and you have these big heating towers, I guess, generators. They're generators and heaters and things, and you have to get coal to power the generator, to generate heat, and then you have to have enough food and enough medicine, and you have to keep the hope of the people up, and so, like, not work them as hard or make sure there's enough people around to take care of their kids when they're at work and things like different stuff like that will raise the hope and the morale of the people, and like working, making them work overtime because you're running out of coal, or making them eat rationed food because you don't have food will lower their hope. And
so it's kind of like a resource management, like almost like a SimCity, but with a strategy element. Bigger,
yeah,
element.
Yeah, yeah. Where there's like, yeah, I don't know. Where there's like a meter that you're kind of fighting against, and then in the same vein of that, like even in Tropico, like you can abdicate your throne to your children to like kind of change the. Like, if there's going to be a coup or whatever, you can have your kid take over, and maybe it'll stop the coup because people don't view your child as unfavorably as they do you, and things like that. I think that's Tropico that you can do that in. I don't know. I just watched Sam play a bunch of them, and I've watched videos of a lot of them, but yeah, I don't know. But yeah, they're asking in chat, because I mentioned Anno, if they're saying if Anno counts as Factorio. But I don't know. I don't know if I'd consider Factorio a strategy game.
I think it is one of those genres that, like, the line gets really blurry around the outside.
Yeah.
Because, like we mentioned, every game has a strategy to it.
Yeah.
So, like, what exactly is a solid just strategy game? Is a like, I was just thinking, like, before, maybe I was thinking we had done strategy games because I was thinking about City Skylines, where it's like, is this really a strategy game? Is it a resource management game? A city building game, but like it really kind of is on the outskirts of what like a solid strategy, like just straight strategy game is.
Yeah. I guess we should be, this should be : combat strategies is the meat and potatoes of what we've talked about today
for the most part. Yeah, and I mean, Civilization obviously has that line too, because there is combat involved.
You still need to defend,
yeah, but there's also, you know, science and all that fun jazz. So, but yeah, I think that that strategy is just going to be kind of a classic thing that stays forever. And it's really weird to me that I think the premier real-time strategy company in the beginning, Blizzard has basically abandoned them. They haven't, you know, I mean, they still do esports and stuff, but they haven't done, you know, they went to World of Warcraft as far as Warcraft went, and they haven't made a new StarCraft. And it is kind of interesting that, they kind of stopped there. They just re-released Warcraft, I believe, called Reforged. But they haven't really made a new one. It was, that's kind of what they did, and it was weird that they totally just kind of flipped away from them and never went back. I think it kind of left this big void for others to jump in. So,
yeah, it's looking like they really don't want to make a third StarCraft too.
Yeah, I don't know.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, I guess that's true. And speaking of that, I just want to tell you, one of my friends said that if you have XCOM 2, you should get the DLC. Apparently it changes the game in ways that makes it super fresh. So I'm thinking about even picking that up. So maybe I'll talk about that on a future episode.
But, yeah, I'd love to die to some bullshit. That game. I love that game.
Oh,
so
I also
many times
learned...
I'd go for like the, okay, I only have a 25% shot. I need this. And yep. I miss, and then was like, "Oh, he's only got a 10% chance. Why is he taking this shot? I'm dead." What?
Yep. Yes, it can be brutal and very upsetting.
Yeah, I also learned your camera.
Do not name a character after your significant other, because if they find out they die, they will never let it go. Or at least my wife, Courtney, did not. Every time I boot up that game, she goes, "Oh, this is that game where you let me die." And actually, yeah, that was our squad. I because in XCOM you have four, me, Clinton, Neil, and Courtney.
Yeah, I just had you and Courtney, and then Hammerlock from Borderlands 2 because you can get a monocle, and Dan Comfy Pants Curry didn't make it.
It was Clinton, one more beer brower.
Sounds right.
Yep. Neil Lucky Brower. That's what we used to call Neil in high school. Courtney the Snake Curry. Although I think it was Weaver at that time still. So Courtney the Snake Weaver and Dan Daddy Curry. Because you got to give everybody a little nickname in the middle. So my favorite was definitely Clinton One More Beer Brower.
That's right. Got a good mouthfeel to it.
It does.
Yeah, it really does. Because like as I was making everybody, and I was like, I don't know what to give Clinton a nickname. We don't really have a nickname for Clinton, you know? So I was like, one more beer, really. Clinton, one more beer, Brower. Sounds really good. And I think you may have been in the room and asked for another beer. Oh, there it is.
There you go.
I got it when we lived together. So, all right. Any other last thoughts on strategy games?
No. I mean, they're so wide and varied. I'm sure, like you were saying, that you can find one that you enjoy.
Yeah, there's even a freaking the Dark Crystal Tactics.
Yeah.
After that came out with the new show, and apparently it's pretty good. So if you're into the Dark Crystal, check that out.
Yeah, I mean, run the gambit. Go ahead.
What's the Dark Crystal?
That's not the Muppets guy.
Jim Henson. David Bowie Muppets thing?
No, yeah. That's David Bowie Muppets is Goblin King. What
the
is
Dark
that
Crystal?
Called? No, the Dark Crystal. No, it's not. That's what is the name of that movie? It's not the Dark Crystal though. It's
The Labyrinth.
The Labyrinth.
Labyrinth.
Yeah. Labyrinth.
Dark Crystal is Jim Henson. Go ahead. Labyrinth what?
Isn't Labyrinth part of the Dark Crystal series, or am I just way off here?
No, I mean, it's very similar. I think it's not related, though. It's just puppets and
I think that I've been thinking and stuff thing for years.
I don't think they're interconnected.
I don't think so either now that you've cleared that up for me. But I'm pretty sure people would be like, you've seen the Dark Crystal? I'm like, yeah. And in my head, I've been thinking about Labyrinth. So I was just accidentally lying to people.
That's great. Yeah, I love the musical parts and when they the little hand guy. I like the hand thing.
I mean, there's
the snail. That little snail is the best. And I was just like, "What the fuck are you talking about?"
There's a lot of overlap with the production team. It looks like, but yeah, no, I'm I don't sure think it's... their stories are intertwined.
But yeah, I mean, like I was saying, they run the gamut from like story based strategy games like Banner Saga, to
When you're talking about the hand guy, you don't mean the hand eye guy from Pan's Labyrinth, right?
I do.
Yeah. It's a different, whole different movie.
That's the one I was.
Oh no, not the hand. No, not that. Okay.
When you said that hand guy, I was like, hand guy. He's not talking about Pan's Labyrinth with the dude.
No, there's like in Labyrinth. I'm pretty sure it's in Labyrinth. There's like a hand dance thing.
Gotcha. God, that's my new character. Guy who thinks Pan's Labyrinth, Labyrinth, and the Dark Crystal are all the same movie.
Labyrinth and Pan's Labyrinth are the two movies that I got confused all the time, and I'd seen Pan's Labyrinth, and I, as a film major, if you ask me if I've seen a movie, I'll always lie to you and say yes, and then because I probably heard about it, and I could probably spit the black plot back to you, being kind of in the industry. And then once people started talking about Muppets, I was like, okay, I've seen Pan's Labyrinth. I don't remember Muppets. What?
No, in Labyrinth, there's a part where she falls down a hole and there's a bunch of hands that are made into puppets. And it's just like six hands in some shape where it's like talking to her. And there's,
I remember that part.
Like, it's just hands, all hands everywhere. But, strategy games run a full gambit of from, like, super relaxing, slow, whatever games, you just kind of play them to chill out, to, super fast RTS where you have to be clicking 800 times a minute, and from, like, little to no story flash games to, like, Banner Saga, which I guess has a super in-depth and very kind of heart-wrenching story. So
yeah, I gave up on Banner Saga, by the way. Just it's slow. Like, you have to be very patient with that game. Have either of you, did you play some of it, Clinton?
I can't remember. I think I had it on my phone like when it first came out, but I don't remember anything of it, so I'm just gonna say no, I didn't
gotcha play it. Yeah, that one's remember an interesting one. You're in combat, or you're just watching people go across the horizon. And there's no skipping it. You just sit there till something happens. So, but yeah, I did enjoy it. But all right, Neil, anything to say about strategy games before we take off?
No.
All right. Before that we go, check option? Us out on Facebook.
I'll never forget
and
that.
And Twitter.
That one day I just said no. That was good.
No. Say we don't have anything to say. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Party Foul Games is the name of the network.
Party?
And Party Foul
Party
Games.
Foul.
Party.
You said run the gambit earlier, and I didn't say anything.
Yeah, but I think he's making fun of me that I sound like a pirate. Party Foul. check us out on Facebook, Twitter. You can follow us there. You can also email us at gamegoosepodcast@gmail.com. You have episode suggestions. If you have things to say about episodes you've listened to, I don't know, whatever you want. If you want to
just want to check in, we're here.
We're here for you.
It's a trying time.
It is. In these trying times, as every fucking commercial starts now. Have a great week, everybody. I'm going to assume that Neil and Clinton don't have anything to say since they said no already.
Yeah, you want to ask again? Let's just see.
All right, Clinton, anything to say before we go?
No.
All right, Neil.
Fuck you, Dan.
Now we have to change the rating on the episode.
Oh, it was already explicit.
Yeah, we were doing pretty good, not swearing or saying nothing vulgar, and then Neil had to come in here. So, all right, meeting adjourned. See you next week.